Praise God. It's just been a great day so far, and we are in our second lesson of the series of Let Hope Rise, and we're talking about, I'm sorry, Pastor Matt, this is not going to work for me. I'm going to knock all your stuff over, and I'm going to step on your board, and you're going to come out playing an organ somehow. I've done that before. All right, there we go. Housekeeping. So we're in our second part of the series, Let Hope Rise, and we're discovering reasons for hope no matter what life throws at us. And last week we spent some time talking about the state of our world, the state of our schools, the state of our community, and it's a tough time at times. It's tough sometimes to really have hope when it looks like hope is really unwarranted, like hope shouldn't be there. But we can still have hope because of what Jesus Christ has done, the fact that He is alive. And today we're looking at the hope that Peter found in Jesus after denying Christ. He denied Christ. And we're looking at Mark chapter number 16, where it says, when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe. This is why I think everybody is going to be young in heaven. I don't know that for sure. I'm just guessing. This is going to be a tough crowd, I can tell. sitting on the right side, the women were shocked. But the angel said, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. I want you to notice those words, including Peter. And remember what Peter had done. Peter had walked with Jesus, but then he had denied Jesus. He had said he would die for Jesus. Then he said he would die with Jesus. And then he denied Jesus three times. In my opinion, the angel specifically said, including Peter, because he knew that Peter had excluded himself. That Peter had gotten to that place of saying, how do you come back from denying Jesus who just gave his life for you? How do you come back from this kind of moment? In fact, Peter had never even been able to ask Jesus for forgiveness in his mind physically, because he denies him at the courtroom, and between the courtroom and the cross, there wasn't an opportunity for Peter to approach Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for having denied you. I'm sorry for what I did. Please forgive me. And for Jesus to say those words, I forgive you. It hadn't happened, and so now Peter is racked with guilt and shame and pain, and yet the angel is saying, go tell my disciples, including Peter, and I believe it's because God was telling Peter, you are forgiven. You're forgiven. And the big idea today is let hope rise because the past has been forgiven. The past has been forgiven. Where you have been in life does not matter as much as where you are going and who you're following to get there. We come from all kinds of different perspectives and all kinds of different backgrounds. Some of us have, you know, been fortunate enough to be raised in the Deep South. And others of us haven't. Some of us got to Ohio as quickly as we could. Just took a minute. I don't know where we all come from. Maybe we were raised in an atheistic home. Maybe we were raised in a deeply religious home. Maybe we were raised in a home that was religious but not in Christ. And so we're from all these different perspectives, but here we are today in the same room, worshiping a risen Savior, going in the same direction, which means that our lives are consistently getting closer and closer together. And we, until the day that Jesus calls us home, and then we join Him in heaven for eternity. It doesn't matter where we've come from, it matters where we're going and who we're following to get there. Your past is unique to you, and I don't know what it is. Maybe you didn't deny Christ three times, but something has followed you through life. Something has followed you for years. Maybe it was a lie. Maybe it was a betrayal of another person that you have carried with you for your entire life to this very moment. And when you think about it, you can still feel that pain. You can still feel that weight. When I was about 15, maybe even younger than that, years old, I was in a service with my uncle. And I had just at that particular time picked up the bass a few weeks before, picked up the bass guitar and started playing with it. And he knew that I could play the bass a little bit. And so he said, and so at the altar call, the people were praying at the altar. And I was standing in the crowd, and he looked at me and he pointed at me and he pointed at the bass. And what he was saying is, hey, you can go play the bass. And I looked at him and said, and he looked at me and he pointed at me and he pointed at the bass, and I went. It was the first time in my life I'd ever told an elder in my life no about something. For years, I felt guilty about that. Now you say, it's my weight to carry. Don't judge my weight. I was 26 years old. We had just planted a church in Chicago, Illinois area. And I'm sitting there praying. And as I was praying, I felt this guilt come over my life. And that guilt was, you disappointed him. You didn't do what you were asked to do. And you failed in that moment. And I thought to myself, how ridiculous. I have carried this weight for so many years over something that I guarantee you Uncle Barry doesn't even remember happened. And then the thought came to my mind, why don't you call him and ask him? So I did. I called him on the phone, said, Uncle Barry. He said, yes, how you doing, bud? I said, I'm doing great. I said, I want to apologize to you for something. He said, okay, I hadn't seen him in like 3 years, so what was I about to apologize for? He said, I told him what I just told you. And he said, it was silence for a minute. He said, no, I don't remember that happening at all. I said, I know, but I do, and I just need you to forgive me. He said, well, I forgive you. I said, great. We hung up the phone, and now it's a story I get to tell. It's a story of redemption that I get to tell that's a little bit different than maybe yours, and it's an easier one, but there's other things that maybe in each of our lives, and I know even in my own, that I wouldn't be as comfortable just saying right here, right now. And here we are in life carrying stuff, each one of us carrying our own weights. We accumulate sometimes things along the way, and we give our life to Jesus. But the consequences of our choices don't just immediately disappear because our life is now Christ's. Maybe we've been living for 30 years and handling debt poorly. And suddenly we give our life to Christ and we get the revelation of how to handle finances properly. And so we start handling finances properly. But 24 hours of handling finances properly doesn't erase 30 years of bad decisions. And so we're still dealing with the consequence of action, even though we're living in freedom or living in a new understanding and a new knowledge regarding that area of life. And the reason we have issues in the past is because we had issues in our past. I know that's super deep. But issues are issues because they were issues. Nobody is struggling with the guilt and shame over helping people in an extraordinary way. Nobody's saying at 60, 70, 80 years old, I just regret that I helped so many people, and so many people are living better lives because they were engaged with me. I hate the fact that I blessed people all my life. It's just really been a weight on me that I've just been blessing and blessing and loving and loving and helping and helping. That's not anybody's story. The weights that we carry are there because we've done bad things. We've done things that we regret. We've done horrible or terrible things. We've done things that have been sinful or shameful. And these are the realities that we're trying to deal with and come to grips with and find some sort of peace with in our lives. And it's the fact that everybody lives with. The past haunts us. And if anybody should have been haunted by his past, it was Peter. He denied Jesus after walking with him for 3.5 years, vowing to die for him. But Peter walks forward in victory. He walks forward in peace and in joy, and I believe that you and I can too. Because the past has been forgiven. And I have 3 thoughts for us this morning, and the thought number one is this: God's grace is greater than your sins. It's not greater than your sin, singular, so pick one and let God's grace cover it. It's greater than your sins all combined. It's greater than anything you could have ever done. Nothing is too great for God. Maybe you were involved in something and you lied. Or you cheated. Maybe you're a thief. I was sitting at lunch one time with a lady many years ago, and she does not live in Ohio. And we're sitting at lunch at a diner. And we started wrapping up and preparing to go, and I watched as the silverware began to disappear off the table. And at first I didn't catch on. And then she reached over and asked me to pass the salt and pepper. So I passed the salt and pepper, and I watched her put it right in her purse. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, well, we pay a lot of money for this food. And the food that, I mean, they're making a great profit on this food. So I think we need to, you know, I'm just evening it out a little bit. She was a thief. I asked her very politely to wait until we left to finish up whatever else she was going to take. I didn't want to be associated with that. If that's you, stop doing that. That's for free. That's not even in my notes right there. That's just for free. Don't do that. Whatever your sin may be, maybe you lie, maybe you cheat, maybe you've stolen, maybe you've engaged in things that were even more serious than that, that we can't really laugh about. Maybe you've been involved in something very serious that has affected your life. Maybe you've betrayed someone that you love. Maybe you've been involved in something that you wish you could change. I know some people that really struggle in the abortion area of things, where a woman has said to me on multiple occasions, women have said, I wish I could go back and make a different choice in my life. But I can't, and I'm just dealing with heavy, heavy stuff. Can I tell you today that God can cover every sin and take away the shame involved in all of it? But somebody here may say, well, wait a minute, I've studied my Bible and I've heard that there's this thing called the unforgivable sin, the unpardonable sin. I've heard it talked about. So what's that? Because I don't know if I've done that or not. And so I want to make sure that what I've done, maybe what I've done has just been too bad and God cannot forgive it. And that's just it. And so I want to address that in Mark chapter 3 this morning, where it says, I tell you the truth, all sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against or blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. This is a sin with eternal consequences. So here I am, I'm up here just boldly saying God can cover every sin that you've ever sinned, all of them combined. And yet in the Bible, it looks like there's something that says you can't be forgiven for this particular sin. So what if you've done that? What if you've gone in that direction? Now, the word blaspheme is not one that we use on a regular basis today. So it means to speak irreverently about something. It means to make fun of something that's holy. It means to lack all respect for something. And it's a debated passage. There's a lot of different ideas on it. But I'm going to tell you, after years of study and prayer and thought on this, here is my thought on this subject matter. And I believe it's biblical. The Holy Spirit is God in personal relationship with humanity. So when we see God working in personal relationship with humanity, it's through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life, it is personally interacting with you. And so this is God's way of being very personal with you and I through our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So someone who experiences the Holy Spirit at work in their life, they know that the Holy Spirit has empowered them to be able to do things beyond their own ability. They know that the Holy Spirit has given them wisdom and knowledge. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And so we know these things have happened in our lives. But if we make the choice to begin to disrespect, maybe we begin to make fun of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we begin to make fun of the idea of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, or even deny that the Holy Spirit is working in our life. Then that is literally a rejection of the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully, because I do not believe at all. I think there's nothing in the Bible to tell us that this can be done accidentally. I do not think that this can be done without the knowledge or intentionally saying, I'm rejecting this and rejecting him from my life. I don't think it's done accidentally. But look at the words of the scripture. He says that this will never be forgiven. He does not say that it cannot be forgiven. He says it will never be forgiven. And my opinion is this. Forgiveness comes when someone acknowledges their sin and then changes their behavior. So God knows someone who has experienced the Holy Spirit at work in their life and refuses him or mocks him will not acknowledge their sin and repent. Thus, no forgiveness. So I do not believe this is, as it's been coined, the unpardonable sin or the unforgivable. I think that it is pardonable and I think that it is forgivable. But it is only forgivable when we ask for forgiveness, and God knows there are people who have walked so far beyond him that they will not ask him for forgiveness. Thus, he cannot apply that forgiveness into their life. And the fact that you're even considering this means, in my opinion, you have not done this. So, with all of that being said, Peter went forward living in the strength and power and freedom of the Holy Spirit, and you can too. His forgiveness is for you. His forgiveness is with you. God wants to forgive you, no matter what the sin may be, as long as we come to him and ask for forgiveness in the moment of repentance. Where we say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for what I've done. And repentance is absolutely important. And that's thought number two. Repentance touches every part of our being. Every part of our being. God's part is to forgive. Our part is to repent. To repent, it means to turn away from. It means to turn around. It means to change position. Peter denied Jesus. But when his sin was revealed to him, Peter repented. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 75. And actually, let's leave that on the screen as I talk through the different parts of our being here, so that we can see how it all fits. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me. And he, being Peter, went away weeping bitterly. What triggered that thought in the mind of Peter? What triggered that in the mind of Peter? What caused him to say, oh, I remember the words of Jesus? He knew the words of Jesus when he was standing there denying him three times. It's not that he had forgotten the words of Jesus or didn't know them, but for some reason it was at this moment that suddenly they were triggered in his mind. That was the spirit of Peter, triggering it into his known mind and saying, hey, look at what you've done. It was being brought back to the consciousness of Peter, because the spirit of a saved man or a saved woman is connected with God and is never disconnected from God. And so that's the thing that causes and triggers us to know that we have sinned. I believe the conscience of humanity is locked in the spirit, something that triggers and says, you've done wrong, and causes us to come back to that place of saying, I'm sorry. Our spirit knows the reality of God and desires connection. And so when we fail, when we fall, it says, hey, something bad has happened here. And then our soul gets involved. And when our soul gets involved, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Peter's mind was involved. It flashed through his mind. His will was involved. It says that he went away. He chose to leave one place and go to another. It says he was weeping. His emotions were engaged. Our relationship with Christ, it engages our body, our soul, our spirit. It engages our mind, our will, and our emotions. In our mind, we engage by gaining knowledge. We gain the knowledge and then we begin to intentionally put that knowledge to work. Our wills are engaged because we start making choices based on relationship. We make choices based on relationship all the time. Whether it's a familial relationship or a friendship or maybe it's a business relationship, we make choices based on those things. We say, no, I can't get into this business because it's going to interfere with my friend over here. Or I can't get engaged at that because it's going to mess with that relationship over there. And so we make choices based upon relationship. And so when our will is engaged in our relationship with Christ, we begin making choices based upon our relationship with Him. We start saying, no, I can't go in that direction. No, I won't do that. I won't be involved. Or I will engage in some things because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to engage in life based upon that relationship. Then we have our emotions. We engage emotionally as we worship and as we praise and we express our love for God. And I encourage you this morning. I encourage you not to try to shut down or shove aside the emotional side of living for Christ. Because as we develop our relationship with Christ, it becomes deeper and deeper. It should engage our emotions greater in a greater and greater way. I know I've heard the old story, and probably you have too, about the couple that's been married for 60 years, and they finally go into marriage counseling, and they're sitting there, and she says to the counselor, he just never tells me that he loves me. And the counselor says, is this true? And he looks at them and says, no, that's not true. I told you at our wedding, didn't I? Well, if you've been married, you know that that's not enough. And it shouldn't be enough. Because the question becomes, if it doesn't affect the depth of our emotion in some manner, how deep of a relationship is it really? And some people say, well, I just don't cry. And you may not cry, but you express your emotions in some way. I know someone who does not cry, but they get angry. When they're grieving, when they're hurting, when something's making them sad, they express that emotion in anger. I know someone else that they don't cry easily, but they laughed through their mother's funeral. They loved their mother. And when she passed, they were hurting deeply. But the way they express that is they chuckle. And everybody who knew them understood. And everyone who didn't know them thought they were crazy. But it wasn't crazy. It was the way they expressed their emotion. I don't know how you are going to express your emotion with Christ, but I encourage you as the relationship gets deeper, you're going to express it in some manner. Become comfortable and confident in the expression of your emotions as you walk with Christ, both in joy and in repentance. So it affects our mind, our will, our emotions. It affects our spirit. It affects our soul. And it also affects our body. Repentance impacts the choices you make with your body. The repentant person doesn't continue to do the same thing. If I am a man who beats my wife, and I'm not because I am still alive. But if I were, Christy's not one to mess with. But if I were, and I said to her, and then I said, I'm sorry. But then I abused her again. And then I said, I'm sorry. As long as I continue to do with my body the thing that I'm professing to be repentant of, I'm not truly repentant. Now, there may be some people in this room. In fact, statistically speaking, there are people in this room right now that are dealing with consistent areas of sin in your life. It could be anything. It could be lying. It could be cheating. It could be pornography. It could be all kinds of stuff. And you have an area in your life that you're consistently dealing with. I would encourage you, number one, don't walk through this alone. The church, the body of Christ is here and wants to help you and wants to walk with you. You are not alone in your battle. You are not alone in your struggle, and you will not find judgment, but you will find love, and you will find help, and you will find people who want to bring strength into your life. There are people who have been right where you are and have seen God help them move past this area of sin. But you must be willing to say, I'm engaging, I'm repenting with all of me. Notice the difference between Judas and Peter. In Matthew 27, it says, when Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the chief priest, the leading priests and elders. He said, I've sinned, for I've betrayed an innocent man. Then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and hanged himself. Judas was repentant, but his repentance didn't change his physical choices. He went from one unholy action, to another unholy action. From betraying Christ to ending his own life. Peter, on the other hand, was repentant. And it did change his physical decisions on every level. He first betrayed Christ, and then later on you find him preaching the gospel message in the New Testament covenant to the New Testament church. He changed everything. He changed direction entirely. I would say to you and I this morning, when we change direction, it's going to affect every part of our being. Connect with God in your spirit through prayer and reading and godly fellowship. Connect with him in your soul through learning and intentional choices and natural emotional expressions. I say natural because you're not trying to make something up. You're trying to just be who God has made you. Allow your body to connect with God by submitting your body to the will of God through holy living and as a vehicle through which you can express the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that leads us to thought number three, and that's your forgiven past prepares you for an extraordinary future. Your forgiven past prepares you for an extraordinary future. You say, well, my past is such that it's just going to keep me down for the rest of my life. And I want to encourage you to refuse that thought process. Don't allow that to get into your spirit. In the past few weeks, we were privileged to be invited to a Sweet Endings event for the Pregnancy Center of Greater Toledo. And the speaker was a lady by the name of Abby Johnson. I believe we have her picture there for you. And Abby is a powerful spokesperson for the pro-life movement. And she says things that I could not say, and she says them in ways that I could not say them. Because she's been in places that I have not been. She was the director of a Planned Parenthood center, providing abortions and raising, really rising within the organization itself. She was really doing a great job and promoting the cause and really working hard. And the number one thing that they were doing was they were facilitating abortions there, and she had been through many, many different procedures and involved in many different procedures. But one day, as she relates her story, she began to speak in fairly graphic terms about her transition from working in this area to now being a spokesperson for the pro-life movement. And she said what changed in her world was after many, many procedures, she was asked by a doctor to assist in an ultrasound-assisted abortion procedure. And so in essence, what they did was they just went into the room with the expectant mother, and they used an ultrasound because of the size of the baby and the length of gestation that had already taken place. They watched on an ultrasound as the abortion was being completed so that there would be no harm to the mother. But Abby said what changed her world entirely was as they watched that child sense and then feel the instruments invading its area, and it began fighting for its life. And for the first time, she said, I realized that I was on the wrong side of this issue. And she said, I realized that this was a child. And then she said, to all women who have experienced this, there is no judgment here. She said, I've had two abortions, and God has forgiven me, and there's no one beyond redemption. No one's beyond redemption. She communicated a story that I could not. I'm relating what she said, but I can't even tell it like she did. Because she's been in a place that has become her testimony has become the platform from which she speaks in a very powerful way. The enemy would love for you to become embarrassed and full of shame over whatever your past has been. But I'm telling you today that God can take what has been your past and allow it to become your platform for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world that you live in. There are people that need to know. They've been through what they're going through what you've been through. And they need to know that there is a Savior, that there is hope. And you need to know that you do not have to live the rest of your life in the pain and condemnation of past failures. But that there is forgiveness for every one of us, no matter what we've done. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It matters where you're going and who you're following to get there. You say, well, this is a really heavy thing. It is a heavy thing. But I hope that it's a heaviness of freedom. We're going to be serving communion here in a minute, and they're starting to get ready for that in the back. But I want to tell you this morning that Peter realized that his failure did not have to define his future. Do not allow your past to define your future. What does it mean to have a proper relationship with your past? It means you recognize God's grace over your past and allow God to use it for His glory. Don't let your past have authority in your life by hiding in shame from it or running from it consistently. If you've got something in your world right now, you keep the primary thing in your life, it just keeps popping up. I hope nobody finds out about this. I hope nobody knows. I hope that you need to be delivered today from that. And there are two areas of deliverance. There's the personal forgiveness that God has for you, and then there's the oppression of the enemy. And oppression of the enemy. Come here, Christy. Sorry, but you're about to be oppressed. Oppression of the enemy is this. It's when there's pressure from the outside world pushing on you. So here you are just trying to do what's right and be what's right and live right, but there's pressure on you. This oppression does not come from God. Conviction comes from God, because conviction is an internal reality from your spirit connecting with your mind saying, hey, you've done something wrong, and it pushes us to repentance. But oppression is from the enemy, And it typically pushes us away from repentance. As we say, oh, I don't want God to know that I don't want anybody to know I've done that. I don't even want to. There's been things in my world that I have said I don't even want God to know. And who am I fooling? God already knows. He saw it when it was happening. He was there with me. But somehow, instead of saying I'm going to move to Him, I would run from Him. So today, if you have a sin in your life, something that has displeased God and you know it, then I would encourage you to ask for forgiveness. We're about to have a moment of forgiveness right now. A moment of repentance. And then I'm going to pray for all who are in a place of oppression, where something has been pushing against you. You've tried to deal with it, but you just can't seem to get away. You've repented 50 times, but that guilt and that pain, and it just continues to remain in your life. We're going to pray for that today. So I would ask you just to bow your heads right now and ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me in this message? Can you reveal to me where this comes from? What's going on in my world? Let hope rise because your past has been forgiven. Or it can be today. I'm going to ask you right now, if you know you've got something in your world that you're just, it's just not right, and you know it's not right, then I'm going to encourage you and I give you a moment here just to ask God to forgive you, knowing that He's just and He will forgive. I'm going to repent myself right now. And as I repent, I encourage you to do so. Lord God, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for the junk I've done that I know I've done. And I'm asking you to forgive me for it. I'm not going to name specifics on this microphone right now, Lord, but you know what's going on. And for those things I don't even know I've done, I'm asking you to forgive me for them today. And I thank you for your blood that washes me white as snow, cleans me pure. Thank you for your forgiveness, Jesus. Now I'm going to pray for all of you that are dealing with oppression in your life right now. If you know you've asked God to forgive you 50 times and yet you still feel that guilt, that weight of that pain, then I'm going to pray for you. And I ask you to just reach out in faith and accept what I'm praying over your life right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all of those who are dealing with the weight of oppression in their life. The enemy is pushing against them. Whether that be demonic forces or just be natural forces, whatever it may be, I'm asking you to do what only you can do. We rebuke right now. We refuse right now every negative thought and every negative influence. Every influence that is not from you, Lord, we refuse it and we rebuke it right now in Jesus' name. Let it be loosed off of every life and from every mind. And let the peace of the Holy Spirit reign supreme in every life right now. We refuse everything that's not from you. In Jesus' name we pray. And let everybody say amen.